Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, you can learn how to live from the inside out. By letting your heart matter, you will be able to claim control over your choices and your creations. Today, our heart energy is flexibility. And by the way, you're now getting that on Saturday morning instead of Sunday morning. So you can open up your email if you have signed up for it. And if you haven't, please do so. Open up your email and get the heart energy for the show on Saturday. You can be thinking about it, meditating with us on it, and being ready to join us by opening your email a day earlier. The heart energy today is flexibility. It's one I happen to like. If you know anything about astrology, my chart has a lot of mutable signs, meaning I have a good bit of flexibility, which is really good since my husband's all fixed. He's sitting here. So flexibility, what I said around flexibility, and wrote this a good long while ago, says turns everything to silly putty. Well, if you have raised children, you have had both Play-Doh and silly putty, and you know the difference. The Play-Doh crumbles all over everything. It doesn't hold up. It doesn't have strength, but it's pliable. So you could say it's flexible, but in comparison to silly putty, you have Play-Doh that is not strength, has no strength, but has some movement with it, or you have silly putty. Which would you choose? Well, I chose silly putty for my children because it has the strength that when you would mold something, it would stay and not crumble all over or fall apart. That's truly flexibility. Flexibility is not this weak, washy, give-in kind of energy that a lot of people consider to be flexibility, but flexibility has strength to hold its shape. So, as I was thinking about this energy and thinking in my life, well, when have I been most flexible? Because I do consider myself flexible. And speaking of astrological charts, my chart is all earth today, very unusual for me because in my natal chart I have no earth. So I have to be flexible today to learn how to deal with all that earth. But I was thinking about probably the most flexible time, and I've had a lot of different times in my life and situations where flexibility had to come up and stand there strongly, was when I got a divorce. Right after the divorce, my whole world changed. And I had been a stay-at-home mom, working part-time at nights and weekends to get us out of debt whenever we got in debt. But I had been a stay-at-home mom. And so after the divorce, I didn't get to stay home. Not only did I not get to stay home, I had to work 3 jobs to make enough money to support us, because I had 2 sons. So my world turned upside down. So my whole picture that I had of being a parent, of being a provider, of all the pictures I had of what a provider is like, what a parent is like, who I should be, all of those things turned upside down. And in that upside downness, I really had to learn to be flexible, stand strongly in who I was, but let the world around me create different pictures, different scripts that I had to step into. So that came up for me very strongly, and of course with any memory comes a lot of feelings and that didn't get cleared, and a time for clearing. So looking back, when you get in touch with one of these energies, if you'll look back in your life and let your memories kind of float back, then you can use this energy to strengthen what you've already claimed and to clear what you haven't claimed. So don't just meditate on the energy, even though we really want you to do that, but just think about it and be with it and let your mind go back and remember when you were strong in this energy and when perhaps you weren't. What came up for you, Russell?
I had a story that came to me. Before I get into that, let me just say briefly that in addition to the email, which brings you the heart quality that we'll be talking about for each show, we also sent out a little survey in your email this week that we would love for you to have sent back to us. It's just a little link you click, and there's about five or six questions that you can just, you know, A, B, C, or D on. Very simple. It would certainly help us with the show, help us bring you more of what you're interested in. So check that out. My story that immediately jumped into my mind when I thought about flexibility was a time my first year of college. It was about this time of year. I had just finished my last exam. I had one more week of wrap-up classes to do. I was working part-time at a department store in the men's clothing department selling suits and ties. And I had to work Friday night and Sunday part of the day and take two more classes on like Monday and Wednesday of that next week, and then I was out for the summer. So I had already shifted into the deceleration mode. You know, I'm just going to coast on out of here. I just want to take it easy this weekend. I had already imagined a whole Saturday on the couch, perhaps not even getting dressed out of my sweatpants, you know, that sort of day. And Friday night after work, the people in the men's department were in the habit of going out together and getting a bite to eat or something before we all dispersed and went home. It was a good atmosphere of camaraderie that we had among all the little departments and sales associates at the department store. So as per usual, we went out, and I think we went to Binnigan's or something and had some hors d'oeuvres, and then the party started to break up, and about five of us wanted to do something else. And I ended up in a car, in the back seat of a car, with one other guy and three girls. And the original plan was that we were going to go somewhere and just have some drinks, just relax, because I was in a very I want to relax mode. And we started driving, and somebody said, let's go dancing, and then, no, let's go bowling. And I said, well, I don't care. Just keep it low key. You guys decide. I'm chilling out here. I'm starting to get a little sleepy. I'm just going to kick back and take a little nap while we drive. So I took my suit coat off, made a pillow under my head, and just sort of leaned back on the back seat of the car. When I awoke, it was about 2 a.m, and we were halfway to Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
From Atlanta.
From Atlanta, Georgia, where I was going to school. So it's a done deal at this point. I can't say I don't want to do this. I'm not in the mood. It's already happening. So I reached deep into my meager supply of flexibility, which I, by the way, do not have a large piece of this energy. I'm very stiff in a lot of ways, but this is the story that came to me because I felt in that moment that I dug deep and found some flexibility, and I said, okay, so we're going to Chapel Hill. Turns out one of the girls had a boyfriend who was in a fraternity there, and they were having parties all over campus all weekend. It was some sort of, I don't know, rush week or something. Bands in every frat house, free food everywhere, and she thought it would be great. And she had talked everybody else into it, and I had been asleep, and so there we go. So I ended up spending the whole weekend sleeping on the floor of somebody's dorm room, wearing the same suit and tie for 3 days, called in sick Sunday to work, lived off of buffet food at the frat house, scrounged a toothbrush, somehow made the shift from a weekend of comfort to a weekend of adventure. But it took a mighty jolt of flexibility to get me there. got back late Sunday night, Monday morning, really. Ended up sitting in my first class on Monday wearing the same suit and tie that I had on Friday night. But rather proud of myself that I had managed to be that flexible.
Well, I would say you got a gold star. So flexibility is that when the situation changes, when you somebody confronts you with a picture that doesn't quite match yours, what do you bring to that? It certainly isn't about just giving in. In this case, you didn't have a choice. But it isn't about rigidly saying, well, you have to join me or I have to join you. It's learning how to say, okay, this is who I am, and that's why we have this show, is to tell you that you are your heart energies. And each day you can be a different heart energy, and each situation may call a particular heart energy from you. But if you can say, all right, I am this energy, how can that energy and the purpose and intent of that energy be carried out? So while you were not planning on going to Chapel Hill, you had really planned on laying back, and that's exactly what you were able to do. I mean, there wasn't anything really demanded of you. So your intent got to be carried out. Mm-hmm. The who you were was still strong, like the silly putty, but it took a different shape. Flexibility. You know, when we meditate, we focus on both the right brain and the left brain because that's what it requires to be in balance. Now, every one of you is going to have one brain that's stronger than the other. Some of you have neither side real strong. No. Some of you have both sides really strong. Boy, did I pull out of that one. But usually you start with the side that's strongest, and that's fine. But just try to include both, and you may have to work a while in your meditation to do that. And practice outside of your meditation on that. So sometimes I think of the energy and the name of it, and I then work my way into a quiet place where my right brain can form a picture. Or sometimes I start with the right brain. Most generally I do, since that's my dominant. So when I was meditating on this, and sometimes it'll be just a picture of stuff, you know, like the clouds floating, or sometimes it's a picture that you've seen before. Sometimes it's a moving picture of several scenes. But today, for me, it was a moving picture. If any of you have been to Cirque du Soleil, it is just incredible what these people can do with their bodies, the flexibility of their bodies. And yet you know they're incredibly strong and healthy. The feats that they can accomplish are just amazing. So I've gone 3 times to see them because I just think it's just fantastic that people have strengthened their bodies and at the same time become that flexible, because usually when people work out and get real muscular, they're not particularly flexible. Or if they do a lot of yoga and are real flexible, they're not necessarily real strong in their muscular frame. So these people have both, and that was the picture that came to me. And again, everything that I have sensed in my history and in the little saying of the silly putty and with my picture of this is that core of strength of who you are, standing strong but being able to change shapes. What picture did you get, Russell?
In my meditation, I got a picture of a railroad switching device. If you've ever watched an old movie where the damsel in distress is tied to the railroad tracks, the hero always pulls out his revolver and shoots this little thing that looks like a weather vane, and it clicks to the left or the right, and that switches the tracks, and the hurtling locomotive switches onto another track and goes past our damsel. That's sort of what came to me, this picture of this little device that helps you switch tracks. And the...
Is that why I have to yell so loud to get you to switch? It's that gun, that revolver.
If you had a gun, you wouldn't have to yell, see? It just requires a lot of force, that's all. But the more I worked with it, the more understanding it came to me that, like you said earlier, you can switch energies. In my story, I went from comfort to adventure, and you can switch forms. You can, give up a particular activity that day and substitute another activity, but you have to keep the same intent. And the railroad switching device seemed to perfectly embody that for me because, you have to stay on the track. The train can't just do a 180 and go in the other direction, but it can switch within that limited idea of it has to keep the same intent. It can switch forms and it can switch energies.
Maybe we should talk a bit about intent. Sometimes when a person is stuck on how they want to do something or an idea that they have, they call that their intent.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's just their fixedness, their lack of flexibility coming out. It's not intent that you're speaking of. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Well, the best way that I can explain intent is another little quick story. When I, after college, I spent some time teaching school. I was a high school teacher with the Teach for America program. And they sent me to rural Louisiana, a little town called Jackson, Louisiana. And I taught high school there. I was a history major, but I ended up teaching biology, environmental science, and business math. So, because they didn't need history teachers. But in my biology class, the head of the department didn't know who was going to fill the empty slot. I was hired at the last minute. But she knew that somebody was going to be filling that slot, and it wasn't her. And so she took all the people who had failed biology before and put them in that class and gave it to me. So I had all the really tough cases in this one class. And of all of them, one of the boys, his name was Philip, was really, really smart, but really, really lazy. And he was the one that I had the most hope for. The rest of them, I thought, if you pass biology, it won't be because of me. It'll be because the good Lord came down and touched you on the head. But I don't know that I'm going to be able to get you there. But Philip, I thought, if I could just break him out of that laziness, he could do something with his life.
I have a few students like that.
He's incredibly smart. And so I worked with him and worked with him. And, he just resisted. No, he wasn't about to study. He'd rather just cheat his way through the exam. And I was like, you don't have to cheat. You're brilliant. Don't you see that? Nah, I think I'll just cheat. And, it just made me so furious that he wouldn't try. And my intent this whole time was to acknowledge his gifts, to show him that he could do this, that he was smart, to acknowledge that he was bringing something and didn't have to just, cheat his way through. And so the final exam, I'm watching him like a hawk because I know that he's going to try something. And he's furtively grabbing at his sleeve and reaching down towards his sock. And every time he sees me, he quickly, straightens up. And I know he's doing something. So I'm just circling the room, pacing up and down. And then he pulls out a little slip of paper from under his watch, and I saw it, and I sneaked up behind him, and I grabbed his arm, and I said, "Aha! What do we have here, Philip?" And I pulled out the piece of paper, and I opened it, and I read it in front of the whole class, and it said, "You ain't ever going to catch me cheating, Mr. Woods. Ha, ha, ha." And I had to laugh. I had been so intent on, the integrity and the honesty of we're not going to cheat through this test. And in that moment, I just jumped tracks. I went from integrity to humor, but I kept the same intent, which was to acknowledge that he was a valuable person and he was bringing something. And if I had gotten mad at him at that point for fooling me and making me look foolish, I would have been leaving my intent behind.
Yes, that's a good story. That's all right. I'll keep you.
Okay.
We had a message from Cheryl in Blowing Rock, North Carolina, Nick, last show, and she says, thank you for faithfully airing the show. I look forward to it each week. Thank you, Cheryl. We appreciate those kind of comments. We like your questions. We like your comments. We just want to know that you're interacting with us. Today, you will not be able to send your questions because we're going to have guests to talk to you, give you a little variety here. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about how we try to help you in other ways than this show. We do a lot of CDs. We have internet classes. We have continuing education courses. We have a facility here where you can come and stay and have a healing experience, because we have 10 healing practitioners. We have a bed and breakfast. We have walking trails. We have a gym. We have a health food store. We have all kinds of ways that we can support you in growing, in being healthy, in growing. And it might require a little bit of flexibility for you to get out of your routine and come here for a few days, but it will be a huge reward and strengthen that inner core of yourself. But if you can't come, then just go on to JackieWoods.org and get the CD, The Power of Real Choice. It will help you so much if you're working on flexibility. And I really don't know of anyone that isn't in some area working on flexibility. Some people have a lot of possibilities in their spiritual flexibility, and some people have a lot of willingness to listen to another person, and some people have more of an understanding of the emotional world and are more flexible in that, and then some people are more able to cover people in joining them in the physical. Whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual that's your strong suit, you probably have one of those areas that you can work on. But if you want to get to that real intent and make sure that it anchors all the way through all parts of you, body, mind, spirit, and emotions, then get the CD, The Power of Real Choice. It's a $19.95. For $20, you can change your life. So be sure and click on to JackieWoods.org and look for the CD, The Power of Real Choice. Let's see, where are we? Would you like to introduce one of our guests, and I'll introduce the other, and we'll ask them some questions and let them join in.
Well, how about I introduce both of them, and then you give a little shout-out to our sponsors.
Okay, that sounds good.
Our engineer, Terry, was going to be at jury duty today. Turns out she didn't have to miss today, so she is here with us. Yay, Terry. But we didn't know whether we would be able to receive incoming emails, so we have two wonderful guests that are going to be filling in today in lieu of taking questions from our audience out there, and they are Claire O'Sullivan and Ruletta Gildersleeve. They're both students that take classes here at the Ottawahee campus. And I'd like for each of you to say hello. Ruletta.
Hello, audience out there. We're so glad you're listening.
And Claire.
Hi, my name is Claire, and we're really excited that you're a part of this radio show and hope you continue to listen.
Our sponsor for today is I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter. I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter has created a great new partner for jelly. There isn't a one of you that hasn't grown up loving and as an adult still loves peanut butter and jelly. Well, soy nut butter and jelly gives you another choice, but it also gives you a very healthy choice. Besides tasting great, the I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter contains 30% less fat than peanut butter. It is cholesterol-free and offers 8 grams of soy protein per serving. It is so healthy that 4,000 schools, daycares, and Head Starts serve this product daily. It spreads and tastes like peanut butter, but without the peanut allergy concern. So spread on the health with I Am Healthy Soy Nut Butter.
All right. Let's ask some of these questions that we've collected and give you all out there in the audience a chance to hear what somebody other than Jackie and I thinks about flexibility. Our first question, what's the difference between being flexible in your outlook and not sticking to your principles? Would either of you care to tackle that one?
We're on radio. You can't just sit and think forever.
being flexible in what did you say?
Being flexible in your outlook versus not sticking to your principles.
Not sticking to my principles would mean that I didn't have any intent around what my goal is, around what my heart is leading me to do. Being flexible in my outlook, I can still be flexible in what I'm doing and change things as long as my intent is steady and strong and I don't get away from what my heart is actually showing me what's best for me at this particular time in my life.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Claire, what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's certain vision that we have, purpose that we have in our life, and it's a matter of staying on track. Things might come up, but you always have who you are to the core to pull on, as opposed to just reacting to what's going on outside of you.
And so we're talking a lot about intent, and we're talking a lot about your core and your heart and all these good things. But what happens when somebody that's a good friend of yours says, well, why don't we go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina?
If they even ask.
So what happens when somebody says, I want to do this? Somebody you care about a great deal and they want you to go do something that you may enjoy or not enjoy or have done or not done. It doesn't really matter about that, but we get pulled off on, well, would I enjoy it? Would I like it? Well, have I done it before? Is it new? Or, yeah, I could do that. I've done that before. It is so easy to look at the question being asked rather than the intent. And if we're going to all say that that's important, then we've got to look at some examples of how then do you get beyond your normal response. How do you get to that? How, when your boyfriend, Ruletta, asks you to go work on his farm with him and your body is aching all over, but he needs the help, do you say no? And do you say no? And how do you know what your intent is?
Mm-hmm. I've actually had that experience, and I was surprised at what happened because I was totally unconscious about what I was doing at the time. We had a lot of earth to move. We were moving some topsoil, and I really got into the doing, the physical part of just putting the shovel in and pitching the dirt. And after I had done that for a while, I realized, oh my gosh, I don't know what my intent is. I don't know what is the heart quality that I'm really expressing. There is no heart quality that's called moving dirt. So what the heck am I doing? So I realized at that moment that my energy was care, but I had moved an awful lot of dirt prior to that time and didn't know what I was doing. I was totally unconscious.
So you were doing a physical act. Your intent was care. So how would you have care for the dirt and care for your body? How would you bring those two pieces together so that the intent matches what we're doing? Right. Because if we just look and say, well, I will or won't do, and this is my heart energy, and it fits here, and we try to make it fit. But if you were being care, then what part of you needed to receive that care, and what part of you needed to give that care, and were they in balance?
Absolutely not in balance. I was totally out of balance for myself, for my internal needs. I was overgiving. I was trying to do too much, and I was not in touch with what my physical body was saying to me.
Uh-huh.
I never want to repeat that again.
Russell doesn't want you to either because he had to massage you after that.
He had to work very, very hard, yes.
So you weren't in touch with your intent to begin with, and then you got out, because you weren't and finally got in touch, you were already out of balance at that point.
Precisely.
Okay. Claire. So your daughter she loves clothes, and she really, really, really wants you to go shopping with her and buy her some clothes. Now, she already has 400 million of these things, but she wants you to go. What is your intent?
At that moment in time, when she's asking me the question, there really isn't an intent. It's her need and her want. And when I go into a room and I see that she isn't caring or being a good steward of what I've already provided her, when she's not taking care of the clothing or when she's leaving it in piles on the floor, I can't go and do the form that she wants me to do. So my consequence was basically like, well, I know that you do need a pair of shorts. You've got soccer and you need more than one pair of shorts. I will take you to a thrift store that matches the size of your intent of what you can bring and my intent of what I can bring. We've got to be in some sort of balance here.
All right. So both of you had the intent of care. Let's see if we can find another intent. And in your case, you did stay in balance. In her case, she didn't stay in balance. That's good. We show in both sides because we do go in and out of this. But let's pick another energy that we need to be flexible. That's a hard word to say. I'll be flexible with flexibility. Let's take another energy instead of another circumstance and look at that. Let's say that the energy is commitment. All right? The energy is commitment. Where have you been called to have, when you've had the intent of commitment, it's either been your heart energy of the day or it's a situation that you have umbrellaed or defined as the subject of that situation as being commitment, and you have been asked to be flexible. What has that situation looked like, Claire?
We have a Thursday night meditation here that we participate in for a period of time, anytime between 6 and 7 on Thursday nights for a 15-minute period of time. And on one Thursday night, I was asked to support our health food store here by sampling some chocolates on Earth Day. And
not just tasting them yourself.
No, to offer other people some samples of chocolate. And it was...
We're not going to count all the ones she did.
Well, I had to sample them to see what flavors I was giving out. You know.
And if they were good, not poisoned or anything.
Right, right. So it overlapped with our meditation time. So I said, I'm willing to do it, but I need to split it with somebody else so that I can also keep my commitment of meditating. And so they got somebody else to share that time with me, and she also wanted to meditate, so she was going to come and relieve me after her meditation was done, and then I was going to be able to get in my car and meditate afterwards. So that was an example of where I got to hold energy of commitment and bring it to both events that were equally important.
Mm-hmm. So you held your intent,
yes,
of commitment, but that required some flexibility. Very good example. Valetta?
Yes, I have had an experience probably more than once with my mother, who is in another state. It's quite a number of hours for me to drive to visit. And she knows that I have commitment to attend events that we have here in our community. And yet she would ask, oh, can't you just skip it today and not go back tomorrow? You know, stay another day and just skip one day. Because she thinks of her experience with church, which is, I go most of the time, but anytime I choose not to go, I don't have to. I have no intent to do that. I have mm-hmm. other things that I enjoy more, and I might do that. So this particular time, I said, no, I'm so sorry, Mom, I can't stay because, you know, I'm committed to to do whatever it was that I had planned on the next day. And she didn't argue with me on the point, but she does consider my life in this intentional community where I live to be like church. So in that case, it gave her another possibility of how one can have a relationship with church, and she was willing to accept what I said.
Mm-hmm. So you afforded her the opportunity to create some flexibility, to bring some flexibility in her thinking, because she had one set commitment picture around the subject of, quote, church, and she saw our intentional community as church. So she got to change and be flexible in her picture around commitment and church.
Yes.
Yeah. Russell, do you have another question?
I sure do. I've got lots of them. How about this one? If a person is not very physically flexible in yoga class, does that mean that they aren't very flexible in their mental or emotional outlook as well? Or is each area separate?
Ah, good question. I'll answer.
Now, this is drawn from my own personal experience of not even being able to touch my toes in yoga class.
I know. He was his physical body, he and I have a build that we've really had to work on having physical flexibility. You know, I had a sister that could do the splits and handstands and all those gymnastic things, even though we lived in the country and we didn't have teaching of gymnastics, but she could do all those things. I mean, just so limber. And then there was me. And I, you know, I have to really, really stretch a lot to get limber. And she just was born that way. Mm-hmm. And so physical flexibility then I had to work at, and I passed that same gift on to you, Russell, whereas your brother Dave was like my sister. Yeah. He was double jointed. I mean, he could sit with his feet together, his leg, knees flat on the floor, you know, and his feet pulled up to the crotch with his knees flat out, and then lay his chest across his feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's just no problem. Well, so we do have the extremes of physical flexibility. However, you can have physical flexibility in a small degree and still have emotional and mental and spiritual flexibility. However, that flexibility will have to stay in size. It doesn't necessarily mean that your physical body is going to be the area of physical flexibility. But you will have to have flexibility in your physical world. So you can't just look at your body, but you have to look at the physical in general, because if you have flexibility, it should be able to manifest all the way down. Do one of you want to add to that, or have I gone on much too long?
Well, I had three different pictures this morning around flexibility, and after sharing pictures with my housemates, I realized that the three pictures represented all three of the bodies. And the mental one I didn't understand. You know, I couldn't take it to my left brain and say, what does this mean? And that was really showing me, well, I do have a lot of flexibility in my emotional and physical, but my mental is where I have the least amount. It really helped me see that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when we can really claim it is when we get it in balance all the way down. But usually there is an area we really have to work on, or one or two at least.
I have a comment about that question, if that's okay.
Sure.
I immediately thought of physical flexibility in terms of how our muscles work in our bodies. And I've heard on the show you suggest many times that we should take baby steps to learn new things. And I could just see my muscles stretching just a little bit and then relaxing and then stretching a little bit more and then relaxing, and knowing all the time that that was giving me a greater capacity the next time to have more strength and more stretching capacity. And it also reminded me of how I can be inflexible and so not stretch very much mentally about some things. Now, I do enjoy listening to people and being flexible in that way, but once I have a make up my mind about something. For example, when I'm in my victimhood and I think, oh, this person doesn't like me, or they'll never let me do this, or, you know, we'll never get along, then sometimes I'm putting it in the past tense.
Thank you.
To honor my willingness to change. But I have thought, you know, I will never change my mind on this. This is just the truth. Mm-hmm. And so I will hold on to something that I know is an untruth simply because that's where my mind is, and I have been inflexible in changing my mind mm-hmm. in that way.
I like your example of the muscle stretching, you know, that you do have to do it little steps at a time. And I think that's the way we grow flexibility in any area. But it's hard sometimes to acknowledge that we're inflexible in an area. Because to acknowledge that we're inflexible, we believe, means then that we have to grow flexibility. Mm-hmm. And if we're inflexible, that's the very trait that says we don't want to give it up. So this is a hard energy to grow, and I'm glad you brought in the baby step thing, because the truth is, that is probably the only way we grow flexibility, because that's the thing that wants to keep us fixed if we don't have it.
Claire, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I did. Your comment, Rue, reminded me of an experience I just had last night, and also my awareness that it's my mental body that's the least flexible. If I have my picture, I'm sure I'm right, and somebody else comes along and tells me something different, you know, I feel like I experience it as this headbutting. And how can these two seemingly opposing pictures coexist? And how do I merge them? And how do I take it on? And how do I not be rigid but also not give in? What I'm learning to do is take those two completely different pictures and open it up to other people. Last night it happened at a house meeting, and so I butted heads with somebody, and I was like, all right, let me get everybody else's picture with the intent to see a bigger picture beyond what the two of us were bringing. And it was kind of like, you know, the old story of somebody describing the elephant. Like, I was describing one part of the elephant, the other person was describing the other, and we couldn't make out the picture. But when I asked other people to bring more information in their perspective, then suddenly I could see it. And I was able to expand and be flexible in my mental picture and change it.
So your intent was expansion.
Absolutely.
Did you ever get to their intent, or did your expansion just make it possible for you to merge with them?
I do feel we both had the intent of sacredness and anchoring. It was both of us were coming at it with very different pictures.
Okay. All right. And so the important thing that I'm hearing in flexibility from everybody is that you are able to get to that intent and to be able to make those two intents come together, which means sometimes that you have to give up your idea of what's right or the way you want to do it or even how emotionally you want it to feel. And so we've talked a lot about the mental. Let's talk about the emotional and how we want it to feel. Now, I find people to be a little less flexible in that area if they really want to do something emotionally than sometimes even the physical or the mental. So do you have any experiences with that, either of you?
I've had an experience recently where I had, I guess it was an emotional picture of going out to eat with my daughter, and tried three times to go to a restaurant over a period of maybe a week and a half. Every time it was, you know, 30 minutes before opening, or it wasn't open, or there was something that was wrong. And I was like, obviously this is an emotional picture. There's no flow happening here. There's I've got to give this up and go back and see, was there even an intent? And if there was, perhaps pick another form, because this one obviously isn't working.
Okay. Ruth?
I was trying to think about emotional defining, and nothing, I'm sure there are examples there, but nothing came to mind. But when you talk about emotions, what that brings up for me around flexibility is that for many, many years, I would just run from any situation where there was conflict or really passionate, strongly felt emotion, especially if it were pointed toward, if I thought that it were pointed toward me, or I felt that I was being singled out. I would drive around the block 15 times to avoid it. And now that I understand that I can be more flexible in allowing my emotional body to be in balance with my other bodies, I am no longer running from emotion that much.
That was a nice qualifier you put in there.
Yeah. It does help. It really does help.
Here's another question.
Well, can I take just a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to remind everyone that they can shop online at bountifulbuys.com. Bountifulbuys.com. And there you can have bountiful buys of nearly new clothing and a lot of gifts, and get, you can not only get the gifts but get ideas of what kind of gifts, because there's such a nice variety, and accessories to accessorize the clothes that you buy. So check out bountifulbuys.com to do your shopping. It's the easiest, most economical way possible.
When I was looking over these questions, the one that immediately jumped out at me on a personal level, because I, as I've said, I am not a master of flexibility. Whatever I've learned around that quality, I have gained the hard way. But this one jumped out at me, so I'm going to ask it now. If you know that you're not very flexible, how do you teach your kids to be something you're not?
Well, I'm going to share something. I had Russell's younger brother had every learning disability known to humankind. He was hyperactive. He was ADD. He was dyslexic. It was extremely, extremely difficult, because back then I didn't have all the information they have now about how to deal with ADD and all of these different things. They just wanted to put him on Ritalin, and I absolutely refused to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was trying to watch his diet, but even then I didn't know as much as I know now about what not to feed him. I just tried to stay away from sugar and tried to do wheat, didn't realize so many people were allergic to wheat. Fed him lots of peanut butter, didn't know so many people were allergic to certain kinds of peanuts. So, you know, I didn't do it all, quote, right, but I was trying with what information I had. But I'm a person that thinks in possibilities. I just do. I'm not a rigid thinker, because if you have a different idea, well, that's cool. That's another possibility. So I really like possibilities. And so in parenting this child, I tried everything. I tried everything. He was also, one of my friends was working on her PhD in education and had this questionnaire about how you learned best. He learned in the exact opposite way of the school system. He mm-hmm. learned best in the afternoon instead of the morning. He learned best with noise instead of quiet. He learned best
physically doing things
rather than mentally. I mean, everything that the school taught, he did the opposite. He was very smart. I mean, he has a very high IQ. He was incredibly creative, brilliant person in thinking through things and problem solving, and very, very smart, but he had these learning disabilities and he didn't learn the way that school taught. So I tried every possibility in the world to teach him, to work with him, and I would jump from one to the other to the other. And Russell, in his lack of flexibility, saw that as me just being totally inconsistent. So here he is, Russell is, his 2 years older than his brother. He writes me this letter. He writes me this letter that I kept for years because it was so much fun. He writes me this letter and he says, "Mom, unless you can be more consistent with Dave, I'm going to lose total respect for you." Well, I might as well have been consistent, because I don't think all the possibilities worked. But you know, My point is that I did have flexibility, but almost to the extent of being too flexible. So we've talked about being rigid. Let's talk about being too flexible.
Well, I'll let both of our guests take a crack at that in a minute, but I wanted to just add on to that, in that your flexibility, your possibility thinking, your openness to new pieces is probably been my saving grace around flexibility, because I don't think I would have learned any of it on my own. I'm a creature of habit. I like to get my structure set and never mess with them. And it was your constant desire to change the furniture in the house that forced me out of that rigid shell of you know, keeping everything the same. I also remember one of the earliest pieces of flexibility that I had to build on came from something that you said to me one time. And I'm going to put this forward as another baby step that people can do, because it was a very simple thing, but it was very profound for me. I had a birthday party when I was about 6 years old, and we went to a little park not far from our house with, I don't know, 12 first graders running around. And not 10 minutes into the party, one of the kids stirred up a yellow jacket's nest.
Yes.
And there's these vicious yellow jacket bees flying everywhere, kids screaming, one kid just standing there crying with bees stinging him. He's too stupid to even move. And, you know, the party's going downhill really quickly. And so, you know, we hosed the kid off, got everybody scooped up into the car, and you took me aside and you said, okay, this is your party, so you get to choose. Do you want to take all these kids home now and try and do the party in our backyard, or do you just want to cancel it and reschedule it for next week? And that was very profound for me to realize, you know, even as a six-year-old, okay, flexibility is about you can choose. You know, you can't have this form. It's already wrecked. But you could pick another form. What would you choose instead? And that was my first little piece of flexibility when I realized, okay, sometimes you'll run up against a place where this form or this energy does not work. You can't be comfort or celebration on a day when there's bees and screaming. It's not going to work. But through flexibility, you have the choice to be that energy or another energy in a different way or at a different time. And so I put that forward as another little baby step, that if you want to really grow your flexibility, start by just looking at where you have a choice to do something different.
Yes. You know, in some of my classes, I have ask people to look at a map and find two or three new ways to go to work,
mm-hmm.
just to get out of the rigidity of fixed patterns. And it's not that fixed patterns are bad. We can actually anchor a lot in fixed patterns. It's that we tend to lose our intent.
Yeah. They just become habits.
Uh-huh.
I had a picture of, Russell, when you were talking, this story came to mind of when I was a kid, my dad was very avid about getting to church and getting to church on time. There was one day where we were going to leave the house late, and that was just not possible. You cannot go to Mass late. So we lived in a small town in upstate New York, and the next step was we were going to drive from town to town until we find a church, until we find a time when Mass is going to start. And we drove and we drove and we drove, and we had always been like just missing the last one. And we finally found a church where they were just getting out of their last Mass, but they were going to have a baptism afterwards. And for some reason, my father thought that was an acceptable form of the sacredness for that day. We got in. I had never seen one. I was a little kid, and his whole demeanor changed, and we sat and watched a baptism, and that was replaced our Mass for the day. And when I was a teenager, he always wanted me to have new experiences, so he took me to Spanish Mass when I was a teenager. Every Friday night, we had a large Hispanic following in our church, so we would go to Spanish Mass. And I remember at first thinking, what is he doing? He's so committed to us going to church. Why is this an acceptable form? But I got to see that the sacredness and the intent was there, because we got to go, but he was also bringing this new piece of that flexibility and the expansion and education, which he always brought to everything.
That's good. Example of somebody who perhaps had more persistence than flexibility, but was able to bring what he had and pass it on to you in a way.
And I always saw him as a very rigid man. Everything was very rigid. He did not have a lot of flexibility, but those were some examples of where I got to see that he did have it, and there was movement within the intent.
A moment ago, Jackie asked about too much flexibility, and I think what has looked like too much flexibility to me in the past was not that at all. What it was not enough structure. And since then, I've discovered that there are things that I can do to create a structure for my reaching my goals and expressing the heart qualities that, and still have flexibility within that. But when I appeared to have too much flexibility, what I was doing was not defining what I wanted to, what I needed, not defining what my heart was telling me I needed, not bringing myself all of who I am to the situation, and just being willing to settle for whatever everybody else wanted to do, sort of like you and the guys going to the frat party thing, and that way falling asleep at the wheel for me is what it would be like, but I thought it was flexibility.
Mm-hmm. So whether it's too much or too little flexibility, the key is that you lose your intent once
yes,
again.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, we talk about baby steps a lot, and I think it's very, very important that you take one every day that you meditate. And we do ask you to join us if you want to. We meditate every morning from 6:30 to 7 Eastern Time, and we would love for you to join us. There's a synergy in that, so that everyone that is meditating together gets to join their energies and you have a bigger space. This helps to empower your intent for the day. In other words, your intent being to focus on bringing who you are that day as that energy, because you are a composite of these energies. And as we say every show, if you learn who you are as a heart energy, meaning today learning the intent, holding that intent, who you are each day, your heart will tell you who you need to be that day. And it will be amazing that who you need to be that day will be the perfect intent for everything you do. You may have a sub-subject, a sub-intent with a certain activity, but who you are that day will be consistent throughout your day. And it's very, very, very important that you learn to meditate, to get that picture in your mind, to have the understanding in your mind, so that the male and female parts of your mind, the right brain and the left brain, are in partnership, so that you can then begin to define your day, to anchor your day, to structure your day, whatever word you want to use for all of this, in bringing who you are, so that you're living from the inside out. When you live from the inside out, you then get to choose. You get to choose what you bring. Otherwise, you're just responding to whatever the world is bringing to you. You're not really in charge of your life. You may think you're in control because you're very rigid about how you deal with how life interacts with you, but you are not in charge of your life. So we ask you to join us in meditating and in listening to the show and learn to live from the inside out. Thank you so much to our guests, and thank you so much for joining us.